This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Ignition.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys. Just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. Joe Costello here, WFO, and this is WFO Friday Cocktails. That's right. We're gathering for a Friday of informal communication to discuss the issues of the day. And of course, you know what the issue is. There's no racing. There's no sports. There's nothing to do. We're all social distancing, dealing with the coronavirus, and people are starting to freak out. And so I think we need a little WFO in our lives. So I am back in the studio, by the way. I was off doing performance TV on the Motor Trend Network. You've got something to do 8:30 Sunday morning. You got something to do right there. You're going to see new shows, interesting stuff. It was good. We had fun. We stayed 6 feet apart at all times. But bottom line, I really wanted to get back to the WFO studio to do a show, right? Hadn't connected with Giovanni in Miami in a while. And, you know, who knows what's going on? Listening to the sports talk radio without sports is an abomination. Hearing people try to talk about stuff when they got no content. We, fortunately, on WFO, always are an abomination. So it should be normal. And on that note, he's out there somewhere in South Florida. Also, social distancing. Giovanni in Miami is out there. Giovanni, what's going on?
I am here.
You're there. And I am here.
I am in the mobile studios.
Yes, you're in the mobile studios. You are off-site.
I am in the mobile studio.
Right, but
I am off-site, yeah. You know, I'm social distancing, especially since you just got back. You know, I don't want to, you know, go get anywhere near you because then I'll be stuck quarantined with you for 14 days. And how messed up could that be?
I don't want to do that. Like a video, Gio sends me this video of this guy, and it's like, all right, A, you are quarantined with your wife and child, or B. And the guy's like, B, I'll take B. Give me B. 14-day quarantine is
that was pretty funny, wasn't it?
It was very funny. The way he answered, he sold it better than the joke was, is his personal reaction. But seriously, though, I was in the airports. The idea that I'm going to quarantine for 14 days alone, like that's, I don't know, unrealistic. I think the 5 days is when I would see some sort of symptom from what I gather. Feel free to update me on that. But I have been washing and protecting and staying away. And there was nobody there, by the way. The airports were empty, which was nice. But you know what? You're right. Like, you just never know.
You know, it's one of those things. We're in an era of unknown everything. And so, yeah, I don't know. You know, in theory, yes, the symptoms take 5 to 11 or 12 days, theoretically, is what I've heard. But I don't know. Look, I've been coming to work. I work in an office, but there's only 3 people in the whole office. There's 5 total, but 2 of them decided that they stayed home. They gave us the option of working from home, but I figured I'd wait till I was forced to work from home, especially after seeing Mrs. Gio look so defeated every day that I got home, since she's been doing the home working and the home learning, and she's had to do her own work from home and be on top of little G's school work that he has to do, because they're not, you know, I don't know if everyone's aware, they're not like just off of school partying. They're doing what's called distance learning, and they've been giving homework assignments, and they have to go on to their do their reading, like 45 minutes of their, it's called iReading or iReady or something for reading, and iReady for math and all kinds of stuff. They had to do like a certain amount of each every day anyway. And they've had stuff that they had to do. And so I figured once I'm forced to stay indoors, or if the office actually closes and I'm forced to work from home, then, you know, I'll deal with it then. But
well,
for now,
exactly.
I'm happy to announce that I have been able to work. And more importantly, for all those out there suffering, you know, Our thoughts are with you. I've been trying to do as much of takeout and help the local restaurants as much as possible.
Well, it's very challenging. But, there's a lot of new normal breaking right now. It's a new normal right now, and very difficult and challenging. Just getting back from doing the show, it's on everybody's mind, and everybody's reacting very differently. What I wanted to do was to hop on here and do a Friday cocktails, and it's like our version of happy hour. And I'm going to enjoy, and we're going to talk a little smack, and I'm going to do a whip around with some of my friends. Giovanni, of course, co-host of The Ignition Show, sidekick, who has got some interesting things to say. And we'll just connect with some people. And all you WFO radio listeners out there, look, we know that this is tough. No racing, no sports, no fun, no going out, no restaurants, all of that stuff if you're really going to do it. Now, I get if you're in the middle of Oklahoma and you live in a town where there's six people and nobody comes in or out, then it's not going to have the same meaning to you as you live in Broward County, Florida, where there are cruise ships coming in and out at all times in a big airport, people coming constantly for travel, which is where I live. But New York and California and Miami, like, this is hitting people very hard, and it's a little frightening. How about those spring breakers, man? The spring breakers just refusing to comply. They do not want to comply.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a little sad to see the nonchalant attitude, but I don't know. I guess if I try to look back, would 20-year-old Gio be concerned about the virus and be concerned that I shouldn't be going out? And, I'm not sure that the answer is yes. So.
Well, exactly. But I think I would have been smart enough to figure it out. Like, I wouldn't have been like this one guy. And, another thing that 20-year-old Gio wouldn't have had to deal with is a video of 20-year-old Gio saying something really dumb and being shared all over the world in 1.2 seconds. That's the difference.
Well, no, it would have taken a lot of big, heavy equipment to film ourselves back, almost 25 years ago.
Yeah, I had a Sony Handycam, and it would have been a pain to transfer it from the tape to, I guess, a VHS and then mail it to everybody to see how dumb I was, right? Like, it just wasn't possible. Now a quick video goes around the world like wildfire. The good news is that everybody is staying. I think if they're not already informed, they're getting informed quickly. And that's the most important thing. The masks, people have got masks, even though they're telling them not to wear the masks because the masks are needed in hospitals and by medical professionals. People got masks, and if they don't have masks, they're making masks. I saw a guy with a painter's mask on. He's got a dust mask. I didn't want to tell him, like, hey, man, that's not working for you. But it's the spirit that matters, I guess. But in the end, here we are. A new world is coming. We don't know what's on the other side. Will it be just like the old world? I do not think so. I think that this is going to scare some people forever. Like, ooh, remember that when it was like that? Like the social distancing aspect of this, the physical contact. I'm a real touchy-feely kind of guy. I want to shake your hands and pat you on the back, that kind of deal. Yeah. Nah, I don't need to do that anymore. It's all right. You over there. Hey, I'll just wave at you. All right. I get a good big wave and doing the knuckle, bump, the fist bump. That's good, too. Now for racing. How about this iRacing thing? Are you interested in that? They're going to do Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend. This is the weekend we would be down there working at Homestead Miami Speedway. I would be in the Cove. There'd be bands. There'd be food trucks. Anywhere from 5 to 15,000 people would have been down there enjoying the race with us. It would have been mega.
We'd be over there right now. It's 3:30 on Fridays, so there would have been track activities going on. We probably would have been there all day today.
Instead,
I had originally scheduled this day to not go to work, but I'm not going to waste my days off now.
Well,
now I'm going to work.
I don't think this is wasting days off. I think you're going to get plenty of days off in the near future.
No, but I originally was going to have today off to go to the racetrack. I went to work instead.
Well, exactly, because there is no racetrack. That's the reason I got back late last night instead of early Friday morning, was so I could be prepared and well-rested to go to a great weekend of NASCAR at the Dixie Vodka 400 at Homestead Miami Speedway, which has now been postponed. By the way, great call by everybody. Watching the people deal with the announcements, whether it was the NBA and then, of course, NASCAR and IndyCar announcing they were going to race in front of no crowd, and everybody said, oh, IndyCar does that all the time. But, that, you know, the jokes and the humor have been good and terrible all at the same time. But then watching everyone realize, nah, we got to do this in a significant way and pull the plug on everything. I'm heartened by it. I feel like when a challenge arises, yes, you're going to have people fight it initially, but then ultimately will accept it.
Yes, of course. And it's good to see that the vast majority of the people this week have finally taken this as a serious thing and not just some little sickness that may or may not affect me. Which is, in the end, that's the way everybody has to treat it, take it seriously, or else it will just be running rampant amongst us all. So,
well,
I'm glad that everyone appears to be taking it seriously now.
Well, not everyone, but I would say most. And something that I was thinking about, and this is just kind of me pondering different stuff, and I really wanted to get together and do this show. You know, remember, everybody, this is supposed to be happy hour. You're supposed to all have a cocktail. You're supposed to all have a cocktail of your choice, and except for you, Giovanni, because maybe you're going from A to B. Who knows? But when you get and various other reasons, but let's various other reasons, and you're enjoying your cocktail. I'm enjoying my cocktail. We're having a good time. Maybe we'll get some lounge music on a little bit later on Friday Cocktails with WFO. But I felt this need. I wanted to go and to do the show, man, to connect with the audience, to be part of the solution and part of the problem. So it got me thinking about the way people are reacting to this. And I actually did some research, and I've got something that I wanted to present to the audience right now. Just something that I have been thinking about. Because with the social media, we can see how everybody reacts to everything. And you can see, like, trends in the way people are reacting. For instance, when they first announced that the Gator Nationals was postponed, the first thing everybody was, and then it was anger, right? Like, this is ridiculous, man. Can you believe it? And attacking the NHRA, and it was, and then, and it got me to think about the stages of grief. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the stages of grief. And I wanted to dig into the stages of grief, and I actually brought it up. Now, you've heard of the stages of grief before, right? The five stages of grief, Gio?
I have heard of them. I don't know them.
Right. Well, that's, and who does? Nobody does.
Differently.
So here they are. Get this, okay? So it's what it's called is the Kubler-Ross model. I guess in 1969, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross described five popular stages of grief that are popularly referred to as DABDA, D-A-B-D-A. And here's what they are: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. And as I began to scan these, I think to myself, everybody's going through this right now. And maybe a little understanding of what's going on is going to be helpful. For instance, denial, the first stage, avoidance, confusion, elation, shock, fear. I feel like I watched many of my friends go through denial immediately. Saying, no, this is not true. It's all BS. Don't worry about it. Receiving fake information, posting fake information, posting that it's, just not real. I watched everyone go through denial, and I felt a little confusion, fear, and shock early on. The second stage, anger, frustration, anxiety, irritation. You can watch people go through the anger phase every time something new comes out. In fact, since they just did lockdown for California, my friends that are in California, I'm watching them post the anger phase. attacking everybody that has anything to do with it, right? They're going to the Facebook to scream and yell about how angry they are. And then third, bargaining, struggling to find meaning, reaching out to others and telling one's story, which I think I myself am right in the bargaining phase right now. Like, this is it, Gio. The bargaining phase, this WFO Friday Cocktails Special Edition, is the bargaining phase for me. I want to reach out to others
so
and tell one story.
Reaching out and bargaining with the listeners.
Yeah, we're bargaining. We're struggling to find meaning. I am struggling to find meaning. Like, what does this all mean? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for racing? What does it mean for the economy? What does it mean for my job? What does it mean for all of these things? For the health, for my parents, for my family. What does it all mean? Bargaining. And that's where I feel like I'm at. So here are the next two. Depression. Overwhelmed, helplessness, hostility, flight. Ah, I hope that doesn't happen. But maybe that's coming. I would like to think.
Oh, I feel that way all the time.
Yeah, you live in a perpetual state of the Kubler-Ross grief cycle, the depression phase. And then finally, acceptance. Exploring options, a new plan in place, moving on. Acceptance. And so, what's acceptance going to look like? Well, I don't know. We're going to be able to get back together. I've seen people posting long diatribes, manifestos, etc., about what things are going to be like. But really, nobody knows. And I'm capable of not knowing. I'm okay with not knowing and just waiting and dealing with it as it comes. But when the heat comes, it's going to go away. Well, but it's going to get cold again. What happens then?
No, the heat isn't playing for at least a couple months, they said.
So, right, exactly.
NBA shut down. There's going to be no heat for a while.
Have you listened to any sports talk radio without sports? It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it actually is. And the worst is what they're trying to figure out what to talk about. Because since there are no sports to talk about, I got to hear you. I haven't even turned on the radio in the mornings driving to work.
Well, it's been interesting to hear how the different communities are handling it. And I think, you're in a populated area. You got a lot of news, breaking news. The people who want to dive away from the news, though, I don't know. I like to keep up on it. I'm watching the daily briefing every day, and I'm watching people roll out with new information. And if it turns out to be, correct and true or not true and incorrect, like I want to be there for the presentation of it.
Yeah, I've watched slightly. I don't like to be too into it because since it does change all the time, and it's like, that's kind of like watching the news when the hurricane's coming.
Well, this is it. This is the worldwide hurricane. People who don't know what it's like to prepare for a hurricane, they're getting this. This is worldwide hurricane, people. You are kind of experiencing what it's like to have a hurricane coming right at you. Except it's something totally different, which is but the preparing, the buying of the toilet paper, right? Like everybody's got to go out and buy the toilet paper. The toilet paper hoarding has become one of the top subplots of this deal.
Yeah, I guess we didn't. Toilet paper. What can I say? I have experienced the shortages. Now, mind you, I haven't actually tried to buy toilet paper, but I went to Costco like a week ago and before it got crazy, and I was just doing some regular shopping, and the toilet paper luckily was not on my list. And because that whole back, any of you who've been to the Costco, where that there's that dry paper aisle is the last one all the way in where the toilet paper, paper towels and water is all in that last pallet racking. That was completely bare at the Costco near my house.
Wow.
And I've experienced the shortages at the supermarket, but I've been able to get like the stuff that I need, which is the only thing that's really run out is the regular stuff like milk, eggs, and bread. All the other stuff, I was pretty well loaded up already. I try to go to like the Costco once a month or every other month whenever things run out. And so I'm fairly well stocked because we live in South Florida, and we know that we have to always be pretty well stocked because you never know when a storm is coming.
Right, and you don't want to deal with the hoarding, which happens. I hear that, it's there's so many people that they post all the time, and like all these hoarders, It's not a bunch of hoarders. There's not like 50,000 hoarders. It's regular people all going to the store at the same time. Maybe your shopping day is Friday, or maybe it's Sunday and it's Monday, and all of a sudden you see that it's time to go get stuff, and so you go get stuff. That's what it is. And we see that with the hurricane. Like, if it's time to go grocery shopping on Sunday, but the hurricane's coming on Tuesday, you're going whenever you have to go. And that's what has taken all the toilet paper. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a couple of videos on there of people fighting it out for a couple of things of toilet paper. But it's not that these people are hoarding all the toilet paper. It's just numbers. It's the law of numbers. When everybody goes at the same time, you have a problem. And that's what the story has been with these hospital beds, right? Like, they don't want everybody to get sick at the same time. And that's why we're doing the social distancing. If everybody gets sick at the same time, then the problem we're having with the toilet paper will be a problem with everything having to do with the medical industry, hospital beds, masks, et cetera, which they already don't have enough masks. They don't have enough gear. They're working on like ramping up to make gear, et cetera. But we just can't have everybody get sick at the same time. Otherwise, it'll be just like the toilet paper. There it is.
Absolutely. And at least, I don't know what the situation is everywhere, but down here, our big grocery store chain is Publix. And I've got a couple of family members that work within the Publix, the big Publix business. They work at different Publixes and in different positions throughout the store. And from what I've been told is that Publix is lacking supplies at individual stores, but that the warehouse is fully loaded and they are just constantly sending out the trucks, that they have not run out of supplies in the big warehouses. But the problem is that the one truck that used to go and do deliveries to like the four stores in one little area and then come back and load into another area is now having to go to just one store and then drive back to pick up stuff for another store. Instead of being able to load the truck with a bunch of different items and just slowly restock each store, they're having to go with a lot of items to one particular store. And so it's taking essentially what used to take one day to fill up four stores, now it's taking 4 days to fill up those four stores.
Right.
And so they're trying to get people to just buy a little slower to give them the time to restock these stores because they are not out of goods and their supply chain is not broken and their warehouses are packed, but they just can't get it to the stores fast enough.
Well, while that sounds great and all, the last four times I have been to Publix, there has been no paper products or anything related to this, you know, Lysol, those kind of deals. And I've shifted the times. Like, I went this morning, I went late last week, I went late night, and it's just there's never been. So I think it's kind of like a luck of the draw kind of thing. Like, did they just reload? But what has to happen, and we're going to see it. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, I want to see an adaptation of the supply chains. You've got people all over the country that have decided that they absolutely need paper products. And so, okay, that's fine. We need to ramp up production of the paper products. People are going to be out of work, period. So what do you do? The paper products industries need to crank it into another gear, man. Swing shifts, Rosie the Riveter, let's go all night. Day shift, night shift. Let's keep people working at 5 a.m. in the morning, making the paper, making the brawny, making the bounty. Or whatever paper towel you happen to use, whatever toilet paper, Charmin or whatever. That's what I would like to see. The discussion of like, this is a war. This is a war. It's a war. I like hearing that. This is a war. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be treating it like a war. We need to be treating it like supply lines. What industries need to be getting involved? Who is capable of doing what? You know, they're talking about ventilators. They're talking about masks. They're talking about toilet paper. What is the world going to look on the other side of this thing? I don't know, but I think that we will probably have learned, hopefully, have learned that it's a bad idea to have critical medical infrastructure type stuff created across the Pacific Ocean. I don't even need to name, you know, any country in particular. like, just probably a bad idea. You should have that critical infrastructure close to home. And that's something that I have been saying on shows that I have done back to 1999 and arguments that I've had with personal friends dating back to 1989. And nobody would listen. And I'm taking like 2 seconds to be like, see? And here we are. But it's I think that will change on the other side of this thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping that things do somehow at least have multiple supply lines, right?
Well, right. Like, exactly. And I'm a silver lining guy, and you know, we're having fun here, hopefully, but the movies show us what's coming. The movies always show us what's coming. They show you some creative, scary guy is going to like find the scariest thing that he can think of. And, you know, pandemic, right? Outbreak monkey, all that stuff. Well, the good news is that this spreads like wildfire, but it's not like the movies where people are dropping in, you know, 5 days and they're, you know, gone. It's not like that. It affects.
So you mean that these people that get this virus, they're not going to turn into the like the zombies?
They're not turning into zombies.
They're okay next in 2 weeks. They're not going to turn into zombies, right?
We don't know that for sure. Like, there's one of the unknowns. Like Donald.
Just checking.
Donald Rumsfeld.
I expect people to be walking around like zombies in about 7 days.
Donald Rumsfeld, love him or don't, had some amazing quotes, and you know, the known unknowns, and then the unknown unknowns, and that's one of the unknown unknowns. And will the people who contract this and unfortunately pass away rise up as zombies 6 months from now? You know, we don't know that, but let's hope not. Let's hope not. But
all right, just checking.
The
you
next
know, I
time,
we
though,
in a Walking Dead kind of situation,
I don't think that the prep was as good as it needs to be for that kind of situation that we're talking about. Not so much the zombies, but something else, like the Outbreak movie, for instance. So what else, Giovanni, before we let you go? What else you got?
No, I'm just, you know, trying to do my part to stay away from people. But, you know me. This whole self-isolation is not a terrible thing for me. You know, I don't like to go around and hang out with too many people to begin with, so.
Yeah, and the spending of money. You're a very tight character. You know, like the spending of money.
Oh, that's
stopped.
Not true. I'm not tight.
You're tight.
I don't mind spending on stuff that I like.
Well, that like staying home, like you stay like, on the mortgage and the TA. I gotta stay home. No, I get what you're saying. It's been very interesting. I plan on using my time wisely. This is
I got a wall full of 1/24 scale diecast, man.
Oh yeah, now's the time to sell them, right? Yeah, sell those. You get 10 cents each. Yeah, like listen. Giovanni is in a tough spot. Why don't you just give them away to WFO radio listeners if they pay the postage?
Well, I've never actually tried to sell them. I'm just saying that, you know, that I'm not one to, that when I want to buy something, I just buy it. You know, I'm not frugal by any means.
You should give the Peter Max Dale Earnhardt Elite car to the WFO studio, and then all the rest of them, you know, get rid of them to WFO radio listeners. My plan, I've got a couple of different things that have to be done around the house/studio, and I'm going to knock them out. And I plan on doing more WFO like this. Like, we're going to try to stay connected with the audience and let them know that we're out here and trying to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And hopefully connect with some of our other friends from the NHRA world. Like Glenn Cromwell just posted a letter to NHRA fans. I'm going to read that a couple moments from now. We're going to connect with a couple other folks. So WFO is going to continue on. As far as our sponsor relationships, like, man, I hope they want to stay with us. But, you know, what can we do with that, right? Like, people are not making money. Are they going to be able, like, going to Frank Hawley, what should I do? Should I go to the Dragster Adventure next week on Friday? Like, right now, as far as I know, it's still on. I talked to Frank Atlanta. They're still on, right? Should I get on a plane, Gio, and fly to Gainesville to participate in the Dragster Adventure for a day and then come back? I don't know. Part of me is telling me that's probably not vital travel. The president says that if it's not vital travel, you shouldn't do it. And so is that vital travel to go do a fun thing? I don't know. These are the kind of things that I'm pontificating about.
I might be more inclined to drive up there than fly, but I mean, you know, it is a far drive from down here.
I just did 5 hours.
I guess
five hours
where
back.
We're at in a week from now, next Friday. I mean, I don't really know. This is such a fluid thing that it evolves on a daily basis,
yeah.
Sometimes hourly.
Yeah, no, it really does.
I mean, I can't believe I was at the Heat game last Wednesday when everything started rapidly evolving and they went from nothing was going to happen to they were going to play games in front of empty arenas to all of a sudden they canceled the game that was scheduled for on the West Coast that night to by the time I got home, everything had been canceled. And then in the next 2 days, they postponed and canceled pretty much all of the sporting and concerts and the whole world. I almost can't believe it's barely been a week, like, really. I think Thursday is the first day that the mass cancellations started, and today's Friday, you know, basically a week and a day later. This has been the longest week of my life, I think.
Well, it's been long, and it's going to get longer because
I don't want to, you know, I know that some of our listeners around the country are in considerably worse situations where they've been told to stay home completely as much as they can, only to go out for vital stuff. At least over here, we're in that state too, but we're not on lockdown yet. So,
right, yet, which is the operative word. I hope that does not happen, and I hope we can continue to move relatively freely. We'll see, though. But hey, we're all in this together. That's the deal. Like, one thing about it, the whole world is dealing with the same stuff. Formula One, first race of the year canceled. IndyCar canceled. Drag racing canceled. NASCAR canceled, etc. Although they're going to have iRacing from Homestead Miami Speedway broadcast on TV this weekend. That will be interesting. If it gets great ratings and everybody watches, then what's the point of actually racing, right?
I was just thinking that. What if the number's so big that they decide to just go iRacing from now on?
Right. Yeah, you want to make racing inexpensive? Don't have racing. Just put video games on TV and let people watch it. We'll see. It could happen. All right, Giovanni, good job. Thank you very much for spending a little time with us here on WFO Friday Cocktails.
Absolutely. WFO, everyone, and keep in touch. Anybody needs to get a hold of me. I'm very active on Twitter and really nowhere else.
Are you very active on Twitter? I think that's overstating it a little bit. You read tweets.
I'm very active, like I am on the Twitter. I'm not necessarily, you know, out there putting stuff out there and interacting, but I'm on there. So if you want to reach me, that would be definitely the way.
Gio in Miami, GIOINMIA. And he's a retweeter. Yeah. There are some people who are retweeters, and that's what you are.
That's
you're a retweeter.
What I am. That's more like it.
You
yes,
retweet other people.
That is definitely true.
Nothing to say himself, but definitely knows when somebody else says something good.
And the stuff that makes me laugh, I send it out there so that my friend can have the same feeling.
Exactly. See how nice is that? All right, Giovanni.
All right, everyone. Stay safe, and our thoughts are with you.
There he goes, Giovanni in Miami. He's on his way to his cocktail, wherever he is going. Right? And here's that letter. Here's that letter from the NHRA. It's posted on NHRA.com. Greetings, NHRA fans. This is from Glenn Cromwell, the president of the National Hot Rod Association. As we make our way through what can be only described as uncharted territory, I wanted to send a note of gratitude to you. Your passion and dedication are second to none, and we cannot thank you enough for being a loyal NHRA fan. Thanks also for your patience and understanding as we navigate the circumstances facing the world, considering the coronavirus pandemic. The decision to suspend drag racing competition was not an easy one. Rest assured, it is our goal to get back to NHRA drag racing action as soon as is possible. But we must prioritize the safety and well-being of the global community. We are in the complicated, uncertain, and rapidly evolving situation together, and we encourage everyone to look out for one another. When we make a return to competition, NHRA and the drag racing community will work tirelessly to create the most robust schedule possible. You can bet on that one. We are so looking forward to that, to the time when we can come together in person to celebrate the return of the fastest, most extreme sport on the planet. I love that. In the meantime, we understand that you have questions about how this situation will impact the NHRA drag racing community. While things are fluid and there are many uncertainties, we've created an FAQ page, Frequently Asked Questions, that will be updated regularly as things evolve on behalf of all of us at NHRA. Please take care of yourselves and your loved ones. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Best, Glenn Cromwell, who is the president of the NHRA and a good guy. And that's one thing that I'm really happy about. Obviously, I work for NHRA as a contractor. I'm WFO Joe, and I'm hired to do events. And so no events, no work, which is a bit challenging. But the good news is I can tell you, I like to fight back on the Twitter machine against the people who assume that all leadership is, you know, evil or got some sort of secondary motivation. And knowing Glenn as a person, like watching him work, seeing him up on a ladder, all of that stuff, that has been why I've been able to make my assessment of his style and his skill. All right, next up on the show, here on WFO Friday Cocktails, where we discuss the issues of the day, coming to you from the Orlando area, is this Jason Logan?
Oh, it's Jason Logan, all right.
Here he is. Here it is. All right, we heard from Giovanni in Miami. Now we've got Jason Logan. This is becoming a thing now. It's becoming a thing. This is good. So I just read the letter from Glenn Cromwell to the NHRA fans out there. Now, I can only assume
correct.
That you have seen it, or maybe you didn't see it. If you haven't heard it, I'm not going to read it again. You'll have to just go back and listen and read it yourself. But I thought it was good.
Yeah, I read it.
It was good stuff.
Yeah. I spoke with someone over there.
Oh, good.
Boss.
Okay, now, just so you know, let me, before, you are in the middle of a show that is going on the air, so.
I got it. I know. You, I know. I'm not going to say anything bad.
You're right. Well, not that you would have said anything bad, but there's
right.
there's for total public consumption, and then there's for moderate public. And that's why we have a Patreon page. Continue.
Correct. So, as we were just talking about where we were, and, you know, after seeing the letter, and, you know, he said everything right now, we're shooting for Houston. And then we have to go, if that goes away, we have to. We have to, you know, go to plan 29. He's like, there's 20,000 different scenarios that we could be going through here. So, but it's good that they're keeping us all up to date. That, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
As opposed to keeping us in the dark.
Speaking
and letting our own fears and you know, preoccupations with whatever's going on, you know, run wild.
Speaking
so I'm glad
of,
they're kind of keeping us in the loop.
Speaking of keeping us in the loop. This is a Friday Cocktails edition. My vision is that this is a happy hour thing because everybody can't do happy hour. And so I'm just kind of connecting with interesting people. I am having I'm having a cup of coffee with vodka. This is what I'm having.
Wait.
Yeah.
Cup of coffee with vodka?
Yeah, it's not an Irish coffee because it'd be whiskey. I'm doing that keto thing. And so I snatched a Tito's from the plane and I just kind of dumped it into the vodka. I mean, into the coffee. And is that a thing?
Yo, we talked about this in Pomona.
Yeah.
What we could and what we couldn't have on the keto thing.
Yes. Oh, what? We? What is this we? Are you on this now?
Yeah. No, I'm not on it. But oh. We were in the process of like, hey, let's not get crazy
yeah.
this weekend.
Yeah, yeah, let's not.
Keto,
let's go to a Cuban restaurant and eat a loaf of bread. And we did. And it was the best ever.
Yeah. It was the greatest thing ever. But we talked about it. You can do, like, you know, vodka and soda obviously is a good one.
Right.
You could do just whiskey straight up on the rocks.
Nice.
I mean, they do all of that stuff.
So are you
personally,
yes.
right now, I'm drinking a Jack and Coke.
Wonderful. So you're definitely, yeah. you're absorbing the sugar. It is okay. In times of strife, all that nonsense goes out the window. Do whatever makes you feel good. You be you. Diets
yeah.
and health.
Yeah, all health is going out the window right now. My diet this week has consisted of Jack Daniels and Coke. It has consisted of corn dogs that I got at a Sam's Club.
Oh, there you
I
go.
I have like a box of 96 corn dogs, chicken nuggets. There's been no vegetable consumed because I've gone to my local grocery store and there's no vegetables.
Yes, this is exactly.
It's all frozen foods.
And you're buying it up because you've got to buy it up because there's nothing else otherwise. Right. What's it like in Orlando? We just had Giovanni in Miami on. And we talked about the Miami scene. Publix is, you know, they're trying their best, but they're behind. I am stocked pretty well. I was not here for the past few days up in Tennessee shooting performance TV. So I came back, went to the store, got what I needed, planned ahead a little bit. I hear olive oil is going to be tough to get for the next you know, because of what's going on in Italy. So I tried to get creative and think about what might not be available down the road that I like. You know, I bought extra butter. I went a little crazy, maybe too much. Definitely a couple of bottles of vino for the good times. But what about Jason Logan? How are you handling this?
Well, Orlando's is a tough place right now because and Miami's the same way. All the entire state of Florida is a place. Let's go just Miami and Orlando. Is Orlando especially? We are a city that relies on the economy doing well, and we are a service-driven industry or town. Everything relies on people being here and spending money, from the theme parks to conventions to people just traveling, flying in here to go to the beach, things like that. I mean, Miami's the same way. South Beach, and people are. I mean, I'm sure people are like still on the beaches down there. I heard that our governor shut down the beaches.
He did,
today,
and rightfully so. Like that. That's the thing is, and what I've been trying to do on this this show, just so you know, is avoid like being critical of any one individual, right? It's like a tough deal.
Of course.
But we can definitely be critical of the spring break kids who totally ignored the deal and stayed out on the beach and said on social media, we don't care if we get it, it's okay, because that's a problem. But the beaches are now closed, from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I understood too. But yeah, so as far as I'm here, I mean, literally I am I've been trying my hardest to stay off the social media, because what I don't want to have happen is, I mean, I have no money coming in. I have a special event company here in town, and we do talent for corporate and social events.
Sure.
Now, you know, we had 10 major conventions leave Orlando with it, you know, that were supposed to be here in the past month. They went away. McDonald's was one. They do a ton of entertainment. We do bands, we do DJs, name acts, things like that. All of it gone. I mean, there's not enough days in the calendar year to reschedule towards the back of the end. So, I mean, these things are all gone. So what I've been really trying to do is trying to stay a little positive, trying to stay up to date on different government assistive programs that is going to personally help me to get through this. Now, it's killing me to be on social media and see these people. I do a lot of work at Disney, so I see, you know, they fired, you know, in quotes, all the kids on their college program, that they were doing the college program. Well, they didn't really fire them. They were going to be let go, you know, in a certain amount of time. They just cut their program short,
right?
And kids losing their minds and all that stuff. The program was going to be stopping, so the social media is blowing things out of proportion, and it's creating and that part's creating panic to me as well. So I try and stay off of that. My kids on spring break, my 9-year-old, which got extended to next week, and who knows? I mean, I don't foresee this child going back to school, which means I am going to become a homeschool teacher. I'm gonna have to learn how to do math again, Joe. I'm not that strong at math.
I feel bad for that kid, man. He's gonna be behind.
I do too. They're all gonna be behind. I don't know. I mean, I learned long division. I don't know what this
the new math.
Common core math is.
Yeah, no. Neither do I. And I don't. So, I've seen it. People try to show me it, and I don't even believe that that's what it is. You know, you draw a square, you put a star on it, you call it a smiley face. Like, there's just so many different things with it. Feld Entertainment wiped out a lot of people today.
Everybody.
But, yeah, that's a bad deal in that. Now we're going inside entertainment industry, but this is what it is, right? But at the same time, and I don't know the answer to this, does that enable their employees to apply for unemployment insurance? Is that like a good thing that they were all let go? It makes sense. Well, if there's no work, then what's the point of being on the books?
Well, that's the whole thing. I think it's a good thing that they got let go. That's, you know, there was a restaurant here in town that fired all their employees, servers, kitchen staff, everybody, because they are a restaurant out at Disney Springs. And Disney Springs said they were shutting down, so there's not going to be anybody out there. And one of the local news, you know, outlets made it into this whole thing. Oh, they shut down, and oh, I can't believe this, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's like, this is probably a better thing for them, because so their people can go get unemployment. They say, look, I have, you know, I've lost my job. And if everything comes back in a month, they can get their job back again. But people like that are able to go and get money. You know, now imagine, like, if you had a full-time job and you worked at, let's say, Phelps, and they said, you know what, we're going to, and you were making, you know, $2,000 a month. Hey, listen, we're going to keep you on, but we're going to cut your benefits for the month, and we're going to cut your salary in half. But you still got a job. All right, well, that $1,000, maybe I could get $1,500 from the government
right.
for that time off. So, you know, whatever that whole thing turns out to be, but, I mean, what's the social optics of it? Oh, my God, I got fired. Oh, these companies are laying people off. And I think that's where people get crazy. But I think in the long run, it's better for the employees to get Social Security or, you know, and to get unemployment benefits. So they can actually get money coming in. They, you know, you pay into this stuff. So
exactly. And that's the thing. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all happens. You know, we want to get back to racing as soon as is possible. And I know everybody does, right? It's like there's nobody who's like, you know, drumming their fingers together going like, ha ha, this is great. We got this. This is something that is affecting everybody negatively. We want to get the engine of the economy going again. But that's not happening anytime soon. At least it looks like it's going to be, you know, 30 days, maybe that Houston race you said. Let's assume that that's true. Maybe a couple of more. So what happens in between now and then? Like, what's Jason Logan and his Jack and Coke while I enjoy my cocktail over here? Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to use this time wisely?
Well, I I'm glad you, you know, got me to come on your thing, on your podcast.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I wore the WFO podcast T-shirt yesterday all day.
Available at nitrofishracing.com, and that would be a great way to keep the economy's engine rolling, going out and everybody buying a WFO radio T-shirt from nitrofishracing.com, and then Randy Lynn will be like, what's going on at WFO that everybody's buying a T-shirt
right.
during the middle of the crisis? Come on.
They're supporting. I like it. I'm basically, I've been holed up here all week, and just trying to not get the COVID-19. My big thing I do is I go to Publix or Sam's or Walmart like every other day. I'll just take a ride to see what's going on. And this is what I mean. I'm just going to see what's happening. I scored an 8-pack of toilet paper the other day. I was
what? You won the lottery.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was like, you know, when they played that Pokemon game and they were running around with their phones, I found toilet paper. I was pretty happy. But yeah, that's it. I mean, I am focusing on, like business wise, trying to, we're like, okay, what's it going to look like for my business on the other side of this? You know what? I mean, I can't focus on, you know, like the drag racing stuff. I mean, there's going to be drag racing at some point in time this year. All this stuff's going to go away and we'll go back to racing.
Yes.
It's just, when is that going to happen? Like you and I spoke the other day, like, hey, have they canceled our flight? Like, I don't even know if they canceled flights to go to the Vegas race. And I'm like, I mean, it's still on my app. I'm like, okay, I don't know. But just saying, all right, are we going to go here? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? My question is, what's it going to look like for what I do at the races when we get back on into this thing? You know, hey, you want to play a game? I got a microphone. I want to stick it in your face and let you talk into it. Oh, by the way, Joe, here's the microphone so you can do your driver interviews at the Parade of Champions. You know, now we're sharing microphones. I mean, do I get to find some sanitizer or Lysol or something every time I hand you a microphone?
Yes. You should have been doing that already, by the way. So, like, you let somebody
well,
on the fence
on
like, hi, Jason. Oh, no. But I think
but
it's all going to be virtual. It's going to be virtual Jason Logan. You'll be in a screen somewhere like, hi, guys, I'm Jason Logan. Would you like to play a game? Like Max Headroom.
Right. I don't want that, Joe. I like interacting with people. I like that. And you know what's funny is that's going to be where my industry goes. I mean, the virtual meeting. Why do we need to bring 45,000 people to Orlando when we can do all of this online? We can film stuff, and people can go right online to a web portal and watch all this stuff.
Yes, but the answer is because there is an answer, though. And that's the thing that I ultimately trust in, is like I trust in humanity to become bored and want something new and fresh and to get out and to experience. And that's what Orlando and Vegas and all these places, Miami, are all about. If you work in, just name a place, Jason, middle of the country, you know, a place that's really like you think about as a working place, not necessarily a play place. Name a place.
Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay. You're in Omaha, Nebraska. And unless it's like Little League World Series or something, your College World Series, whatever it is, you work there. There's businesses there. But those people, all they see Omaha. And they see the middle of the country. And they are families. Like, there's an opportunity for their company to reward them by going to Orlando, knowing let's have our meeting in Orlando. They'll bring the kids. They'll bring the family. The kids will go out and they'll see Mickey and they'll have fun. That has got to continue. You're not going to be able to crush that in the American psyche. I just don't think so. I think, you know, things might be a little different. I think we're eventually going to get a vaccine for this. We might get a drug that treats it. Maybe it'll die off after a couple of years, after it runs its course. But I think ultimately those experiences are part of the American culture. And if it doesn't, I will be very sad.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think, like, you're right. People definitely have to go. By the way, how weird was it seeing the pictures of Vegas with no lights on?
I didn't see that. Everybody's telling me about it. I'm going to bring it up right now.
You got to see this.
Vegas,
you have to see
no
this.
Lights. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Because remember, I've been doing the performance TV thing, so I haven't seen. I'm out of the loop on a couple of things. So here we go. It's a photo. Is it like a well-known photo?
Yeah, just type Vegas no lights in your Google.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, it should.
Oh, well, the Cosmo's still got some lights. The Bellagio is dark. But yeah, that means the party's over, man.
By the way, I know you don't want to get too political and yelling about one person.
No, I don't.
But did you see him call that reporter and say he had a terrible question?
It just happened just today. The president of the United States said that a reporter was asking, what would you say to people who are scared? And he says that's a terrible question, and he attacked him. Here's my deal, okay? Like, I didn't like it, but
I don't like it either.
There's a lot of stress going on up there, you can imagine. And I think that if you're someone like I like to think what my friends would say about it. And here's and you got me on a topic that I never really bring up. But I think projecting calm is good. But
I agree.
Just saying stay calm, be calm is one thing. But the question was actually like, what would you say to the people who are not staying calm, people who are upset? And that's what triggered a not calm response. The actual response was not calm. And so what's going to happen is that's going to get played 50,000 times and people are going to be less calm because of it. So like, that's what I take out of it. It's like, man, challenging situation here. I do not wish this on any person. And this is why, and I say this about every president. Like, people ask me, you know, do you support the president? I say, I support every president because the job is hella hard and you never know what's coming at you and you're responsible. like regardless, like, I'm not responsible. No, you're responsible. And so he did. I did not like it. It's a bit of a bummer, but I don't think people are. I think people will forget.
I agree
with
you 100% with all of that, Joe. And here's what I don't want to say. I'm middle of the road with anything and everything.
Yes,
I don't like again with the social media. I see people. Oh my God, the world is ending. China did this to do blah blah blah. Conspiracy theory, conspiracy theory, conspiracy theory. We're all gonna die. I hate Donald Trump. Then you got all these other people on the farther other side. You know, guys, we just have to support everybody. It's all this fake positivity. If I see one more person say, "Hey, just for," all I see, you know, no matter what, how ugly it is or whatever, brighten my day by showing me the 39th picture in your feed. I don't want to see that.
Oh,
stuff.
If you do that to me, that's the worst thing going right now.
I don't want to see. I don't want to see hashtags. You know, I don't want to see all this. I don't want to see people trying to build people up falsely.
Hey,
I mean,
guys,
look,
it's all going to be great.
I don't. All I want is the information. I want that little Dr. Finucci guy, whatever.
Fauci.
Trump, the little dude
Finucci,
with the glasses.
Don Finucci from Fauci. The Godfather. Dr. Fauci, man. Come on.
Dr. Fauci, I want to see that guy on TV all day long pumping me with information. I don't want to hear where the virus came from. I don't want to know how many. I just want the information on how we as Americans are going to deal with it, how we are going to move on from it, and how we are going to be better because of it. That's all I want to know.
Yeah, and so the point is like crisis management, right? Crisis management is
right.
Like it's a very challenging thing. And there are a lot of people that, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder, right? Like whatever it takes to make people calm. But social media, this is the first major crisis that we are going through with social media, because social media was not a thing for September 11th. And I guess, like, there have been some regional crises that have happened, but this is the first big crisis since social media has been totally within the fabric of our country. 2001, there were no mobile devices. Like, you couldn't, like, text and none of that existed. That was before iPhone, 2001, September 11th. Then the financial crisis in 2008, that was still very much at the very beginning. Like, older folks were not on Facebook at that point yet. It was still The sharing of every thought, the sharing of every idea, every conspiracy theory. There are so many. Like you said, Trump knows about the virus, and he's doing it so that he can cancel the election in November and declare martial law. There's one. Then there's the Chinese have done this to us on purpose because they're angry about the tariffs and they're getting us. They want to take down the economy. There's two. And there's literally thousands of them across the board.
Right.
None of them are true. And everybody who's doing that is really doing damage to the country. So here's my thought. OK, I'm going to let you behind the window a little bit. All you listeners, you don't get to get this. But since there's no drag racing, you get a little bit right. Like, you can't yell fire in a movie theater. It's against the law. Now,
correct.
We all have free speech, but you can't yell fire in a movie theater. Well, why? Why can't you yell fire in a movie theater, Jason?
Because it creates panic.
Because it creates a panic. And what happens in a panic?
Yeah.
Someone might get hurt. Or right. So when
So
we already know that social media is in many ways considered speech, right? It's like you're putting your speech out into the public. When someone posts something that is false, not true, deliberately not true for all I know, something that just confuses and causes panic, man, I don't know. I think that should be treated the same way as calling fire in a movie theater.
Man, you are preaching to the choir, Joe. That is exactly right.
And I know like 50 people that would be cited today. Like, I could go through my feeds and those people, like, show me your 11th picture on your iPhone. Yeah, I hate them, but not really. It's just like, come on, man, why
no,
are you doing that? But the ones that are really like posting misinformation stuff. Do you know that this is supposed to be a fun happy hour show, Jason? You brought it to a very dark place, but we're going with it. This is what happens when cocktails are involved, my man, and it's okay. We're going to go with it, right? But when people are posting all this information, we know that already the State Department knows that there are other countries that are involved in this pushing out fake stuff. That it was invented by the United States Army, and that like there's fake news and propaganda. There's a propaganda war going on just beneath the surface about coronavirus against our country, and many of our own citizens are helping the people who are creating that propaganda to spread it on Facebook and social media. That's my point.
InfoWars.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, let's move on.
No, I get it, man. Yeah, so
okay.
Moving on.
Okay. So are you disappointed that you don't get to put anybody in the hot seat?
Yeah, but it's giving me time to think about it. I mean, whoever gets in the hot seat at the first race I'm back at, forget it. It's over.
Because
I'm
going to
just come with a whole hailstorm of questions.
If you had to lose someone, would it be your grandmother or your grandfather? Dark humor, man. Dark humor. It happens.
I'm going to do F, Mary, Kill.
Oh, no, don't do that. Oh, well, I love putting these drag racers in a position that makes them slightly uncomfortable. What you just did might put them in an extreme uncomfortable position, but getting them out of their normal routine is good.
Right. Well, that's something else too. Some people may not like me. I know it's hard to believe because I'm a lovable person and I just like to have fun, but people that get so uptight and so nervous and clutch their pearls, I'm like, come on, man, loosen up just a little bit. It's okay. This is fun. We're just having a good time. We're talking here.
Let's explore the concept that there are people that don't like Jason Logan. I do think it's hard to believe for a lot of people out there because you're a good time guy. You're a positive character, positive energy out there. But there are people that hate you like poison, like vile poison.
And I love when you told me about one specific person that made me laugh. And I'm like, I don't understand. And I did do it. And looking back now, why that person hates me, the way that you describe that he hates me, I can understand why. But, you know, look, I'm big and I'm loud. Like, if you met any of my family, we are the loudest people ever. Just unbelievably loud. And we are in your face. And my parents taught us to be who we are, 365, 24/7. And if people don't like it, that's their problem. And, but yeah, I understand why people don't like me. And that's really not my, somebody told me one time, what other people think of me is none of my business. So just don't even worry about it.
Well, exactly. But then when someone tells me what they think of you, and then I happen to tell you what they think of you, then it is your business.
Dude, that was honestly, how offended was I at the beginning? But then when you started telling me why that person hated me, I realized, wow, I'm an asshole. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. This is WFO Friday Cocktails. We're doing it all. So you want to do some of the frequently asked questions of the NHRA? Let's see what one of their questions are. I got the website because I'm going to ask you about drag racing just to tie it all together, right? Like, we got Jason Logan on. We're doing a happy hour show. I get to feel. You know what I did, Jason? I identified the fact that what I'm going through are the stages of grief. And I'm in the bargaining stage where I'm reaching out to others to tell my story and struggling to find meaning. And that's what this show is, right? It's the Kubler-Ross grief cycle, and I'm right in the middle, right? But and you're part of it, so feel happy. But, like, here's one.
Hey, I like it.
What do I do with tickets I've already purchased? Any tickets purchased for the 2020 Gator Nationals can be used at the TBD rescheduled date or towards the 2021 Gator Nationals event. I like the fact that they've gone out of their way to make sure that there's a web page where people... how are NHRA employees handling COVID-19? NHRA is recommending all employees work remotely. Hey, look at that. Good idea.
Hey, how about this one? The one right below it. Will I get a refund on my NHRA.tv event pass?
Ooh, I don't know the answer. Let's see what it says.
Before reading it, how do you think they're going to handle that?
I have no clue. You'll get next year. Wait a second. If the event is run, then it doesn't matter. You shouldn't want a refund. You get 24 races. If you still get 24 races, then you're good. And then if there's less races, then I don't know how they're going to handle it. If there's one less race, usually a race gets rained out a year. I think that there's no beef. But if there's like half the races, then, you know, something might have to be handled. But right now, I think it's still all up in the air. We're going to try to run the full season. That's how I'd handle it.
Yeah, here's what they said. Your event pass will still be valid for the event, which was postponed. So if you bought, say you just bought a single race, you bought Gainesville and they didn't run it, then you'll get it for next year or for when they run it again this year. Here's my favorite part. For our year-long subscribers, NHRA.tv is a great way to catch up on NHRA races from years past and rewatch some of your favorite moments. AKA, there's stuff on there, you're still paying for it.
Well, absolutely. But it's true, though. Like, think of all the great moments that we got to enjoy last year. If I was a drag racing fan, I really think that right now, and they did make the baby. You see, now we're delving into dark territory, folks, because Joe and Jason are publicly talking about concepts and ideas to make NHRA.tv better, right? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. But here we go. There's cocktails involved. the Baby Gators, not the Baby Gators, the Gator Nationals Lucas Oil Series programming. You get what I'm saying? Like the sportsman racing that happened last weekend because all the sportsman racers were there. From what I understand, NHRA.TV was free, right? Free. Like, I think now would be a really good opportunity to show a lot of our cynical fans that there's some great stuff on there, and go back and show last year's Gator Nationals. Like, make last year's Gator Nationals free for everyone to watch, and make last year's four-wide Denso Nationals at Vegas free for everyone to watch. This is what NHRA.TV is. This is how it works. You know, edit out any glitches. Yeah. Like, I think that now's a time where you got to try to grow. You got to get in. That's why we're doing WFO right now. There's a listener who's never heard the show that's listening for the first time because he is bored.
Right. Here's my thing, too, with it. Every single one of your WFO listeners, because they're listeners to your show, should have NHRA.TV. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They should have it because you're not listening to WFO to hear you and I talk about Donald Trump telling a reporter he was dumb.
Definitely not. That was a total breach of WFO protocol.
They're here to talk about drag racing. So that said, across the board, every one of your listeners should have it. So when I'm at the races and I'm at the member display and I ask all these people, I'm like, I go, how many people, you know, you guys are members of NHRA? Because they have three different levels of membership, you know, like you have a basic membership, then you have another membership where you get a T-shirt, and you get the top membership, which, by the way, is like $50 more than the bottom one, or maybe it's like $80 more than the bottom.
No, but you got to get the platinum membership. It's the only game in town. It's just the idea that people don't have $150 to devote to their drag racing passion. But if you do, that's what you do. You get the platinum membership, and then just get the National Dragster and the NHRA.TV and the discounts and the T-shirt. You get everything. Like, come on, it's a deal.
You get everything.
It's a deal. But you know, they people are tough these days, man. People are brutal.
But I totally disagree with that. I get it. It's $150 or whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, right now, would I would love to have $150? Sure. But here's what goes on. I ask them all the time. If you've never been on NHRA.TV, I mean, I know everybody complains, oh, it always goes down, blah, blah, blah. But listen, what NHRA is putting out there, other than the live event, I mean, if you haven't been on there, I mean, there's so much stuff in there that you're like, oh my God, I can't remember that race. If we're hardcore drag racing fans that do not have that, I don't understand it. I'm not trying to come down on
these
people.
Say it. No, say it. I know what you're going to say. You're not really a fan. If you don't have NHRA.TV, you're not really a fan. You're not a hardcore fan. And that's the deal. You're not. And I hate to say that. We're being very judgmental, but it's true. It's like, well, I got kids I got to feed. You know, it's like, you know what, over the course of 365 days to come up with this sum is not, it's not that bad. People can watch. You can have watch parties. You can get together. You can be part of this greater family. I love it. I think it's one of the best things that they've ever done. In fact, like, if they were to ever do away with NHRA.TV, which they have not ever suggested that they would, but if they did, let's say they did, like some people are like, oh, just turn it into a BS stream, you know, I would be very disappointed. I love the fact that our act gets to be on there, whether it be the top end reporter, whether it be what's going on the Jumbotron, Sunoco Vision, like that makes it a show for the people at home. And if you don't have it, you're not a fan.
Listen, and how many people go to NFL football games? It gets to be almost crazy to go to an NFL football game or any major sporting event. And if you are a drag racing fan or a fan of sports at all, and I mean, and I know a lot of our fans go to NASCAR events. NASCAR is an all-day affair, just like NHRA. But if you could sit on your couch and if the NHRA is in your hometown once a year, and some of these places we go twice a year, but if say you live in Topeka, Kansas, and you love drag racing, you can see it one time a year, but you want to know what's coming up before the Topeka race and what goes on after the Topeka race, and you're a huge Steve Torrence fan, $169 is not a lot of money to watch drag racing Friday night, Saturday, all day Sunday, and you now know what's going on.
What are you doing in an ad for NHRA.TV? You're like, you're not even being compensated for this. There isn't even any drag racing. Look how passionate you are about this. All right, did you watch Courtney Enders give a tour of Elite Motorsports with Erica and Alex yesterday?
I did not, but she was telling me what they were going to do, and it sounded funny. So I was like, I was trying to find it on social media, but again, trying to stay off of it.
No, well, that's the upside is nobody got anything to do. And so people are kind of breaking out, doing a little like a different thing. And they just kind of wandered through Elite, showing the crowd what was going on. And it was kind of cool. Oh, let's talk about the Orlando race. What'd you think about that? Like the last drag race.
The last real drag race that we went to?
Yeah.
I loved it, Joe. I thought it was, you know, barring, I mean, Wes and his whole team did an amazing job. And what they did at that facility here in Orlando was a humongous undertaking. And they knocked it out of the park. Now, for what you and I do, we need to be able to communicate. We need to be able to hear. But there's a learning curve to it. And, you know, we both said it's not like we're going to Gainesville. It's not like we have this huge infrastructure that is the NHRA to be out there. So it's a small track, not a lot of grandstands. We couldn't really hear everybody. But that's okay. The racing was amazing.
That
Friday night, or was it Saturday night when it got super cold, all the quickest times in pro stock history were made. Like six cars broke that number.
The quickest run of the fuel injection era, and it's funny that you mentioned that. And, you know, I had to leave to go up to Charlotte for a shoot of the Performance TV show, and so it kind of got, like, buried. Oh. You know, like, when you go from one gig to the next, the first gig kind of gets erased from your mind, and then all this, and then I went to Gainesville, and then all this nonsense happened. But we haven't really had a chance to reflect on it. I love...
First off, Joe, hold on.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How come you keep throwing in my face that you have a TV show and I don't?
It's a statement of fact. It says I was at this place. I was working. It's not that I was just going to do stuff. I shouldn't do that.
That was like the sixth mention of your Performance TV show.
It's a plug. It's not for you. You've already got it on your DVR every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on Motor Trend Network. It's for the listeners.
Joe, can I just roll gaff tape at this show? I mean, come on, man. I did you not hear that I'm financially broken right now? With no racing going on.
Listen, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I will try to mention the TV show a little bit less. But hey, who knows what lies ahead, right? After the half of the population has been. Anyway, moving on. It was fun to be in a situation where you knew that it was fluid, right? Like you're trying to help, like we were trying to help Wes. Like that's what it is. Like he's got, obviously Wes is a big dreamer and he's got people who want to support him with his endeavors to try to make stuff, right? And he comes up with these ideas and he comes up with an idea. It's like, well, okay. And to be in this, I was like a last second addition to that deal. That was going to be Brian Lones.
Right.
Brian Lones couldn't do it. And so to be like able to be like creative like that, which by the way, we get to be creative on the NHRA side all the time. Like we can come up with stuff and just do stuff. And so there's a lot of times they don't even know what we're going to do and we just do it, which is great.
Right.
But this was even less structured. And my opinion was that the show turned out really strong. Like there was a really strong show. And the chip draw for Pro Stock round one, I think NHRA should adopt it immediately at a race, one or two, get the pro stock drivers to agree. I think the fuel guys, it would benefit them also, but I don't see them ever agreeing to it just because the fuel guys are a little, you know, there's just so many layers, the crew chief, and there's just so many layers in the nitro ranks. But, man, I think you could get the pro stock guys to agree to that, to do it at a or two races, and it was great. Like, I thought that was the highlight of the deal.
I agree. I thought it was very cool as well, and because it's just something that you don't usually see, and especially with pro stock. Now, in all the, you know, the street racing and, you know, the no prep stuff, those guys do that stuff all the time, and people call people out, and there was nobody calling anybody out at this thing, but, you know, It was definitely good to see going back to taking people out of their comfort zone a little bit, you know, seeing people get out there and like, okay, we're going to do this. Like me playing music on the starting line on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, Wes was like, dude, that was my favorite part of the whole thing. You know, other than the racing, that was like, he goes, you guys, you know, we created a party atmosphere. And watching Ricky Smith dancing on the starting line, watching Greg Anderson's wife dancing by the side of the car to, you know, music that I'm playing, it created a totally different atmosphere. It wasn't like, you know, Wes said, if anybody calls this another, you know, it's just another test session, I'm going to punch him in the mouth. It wasn't a test session. They're all out there running for something. And we made it fun. And that's where, I mean, sometimes, you know, we get kind of lost in the whole, you know, of like, oh my God, we're the biggest show out here. This is at HRA and this is at Gator Nationals. And we have to do it this way because we've done it this way for 60 years. You know what I mean? Sometimes. And they have been going this, you know, this way a little bit, I believe, since Glenn came in.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yeah. He's an entertainment type guy, and he realizes people have to be entertained. And I agree. The starting line atmosphere, I know there was like an old school drag racing fan who did not get it or did not like the music. And you started to like flip the script a little bit on the music. It's tough. It's tough playing music for large groups of people, as you do at weddings. There's always the person coming up and asking for whatever it is that you don't have, right? Like whatever it is that they're asking for. But generally, they did a great job of making it, number one, different. Number two, fun and light. And then three, very competitive. Like, look at the final round. You got Jeg, you got Greg, you got Summit, you got Jegs. There's $75,000 on the line. Now, I wasn't there for the final. I had to leave. I got robbed of the whole deal because I was off going to do the TV show. But what was that like, the final round atmosphere? Where were you for that? There was thousands of people on the starting line. Tell me your version of it.
I was over, you know, right in front of the tower where I was playing music. And, I mean, the NHRA over the past season said, hey, you guys got to get off the starting line. Yeah, everybody's got to get off. I mean, there were so many people on the starting line. Everybody was down there.
I saw it. I got a buddy of mine was very angry about it, though. Like, that's a very polarizing thing. Like, people got to realize it's a very polarizing thing amongst hardcore drag racers. Like, my bracket race friends, you know, the bad things can happen on the starting line. And I am I'm torn. It definitely looks really cool. But the starting line can be a dangerous place. It could never be like that with fuel cars. The fact that they're pro stockers, I tend unboosted, naturally aspirated pro stockers. I lean towards, yeah, it's okay. Especially when you got, it's really the crew members of five elite teams, like four KB teams. Like, everybody that was up there is a knowledgeable person. There were no civilians up there. Everybody was somebody who's credentialed. They just happened to all be up there at the same time.
Right. Well, that's what happens, like, when you run in fuel and one of the Kalina guys are going against, one of the Schumacher guys. I mean, everybody's up there.
Right.
I get it. That's the way the sport's been done forever. And, it's just like with the media out of NHRA, when they have to wear, the red smocks. They had to wear them all last year. And then they wouldn't let people, you know, they were kicking people like Mama Kay off the freaking starting line in Pomona. And she was like, I don't know who you're talking to, but I'm going to stand right here and create the scene. But it's like, I don't know what the balance is, but, you know, people, especially these drag racing people, they do not react well to change.
No. Well,
they do not react well to people saying no to them as well, which me, me being, I didn't come from this world. You race cars, Joe. You get it. You're on performance TV.
8:30 a.m. Sunday morning.
I didn't come from this world, so I understand. I come from the stick and ball world where, you know, when the umpire kicks you out of a Florida State A-League game in Vero Beach because you got 20 blue-haired women yelling and screaming at every pitch because you're just there to entertain people, and in the bottom of the third inning he kicks you out of the game, and the manager of the Vero Beach Dodgers gets thrown out because he's yelling at the umpire that they paid us $750 to come there and perform.
All right, stop. And then we all go, can you please stop and let me just dissect? This is a real story, clearly. This is not a hypothetical thing that might happen.
Oh, yeah.
This happened to you. You were hired to do a minor league baseball game, and you wound up getting ejected from the game?
Yes. So the company I work for, or the company, or the reason why I'm in drag racing was because in 1995, in the 90s, somebody there saw this company called Sports Magazine. We used to do baseball, minor league baseball, hockey, minor league hockey, NFL. We were the ones that created people shooting T-shirts into the stands back in the 90s with the Orlando Magic. So we would go to all these minor league baseball games. And by the way, minor league baseball is the greatest thing ever on the planet.
Yes.
So we had a contract with the Florida State A-League team. And I'd be in Vero Beach, then I'd be in Fort Myers. You know, there was back in the day during minor league baseball, it was the Blues Brothers, those guys that would come out. There was the San Diego Chicken. There was Bird Zirk. And then there was Sports Magazine. And so all these, we would go around. I mean, I've performed at Toledo Mudhead, you know, all of these storied places I've been to, and we performed. And what we would do is we'd make balloon animals and like, oh, there you go. And because the company was started by a magician. So anyways, long story short, we're at a Vero Beach Dodgers game, and bottom of the third, and we've got these 20 old ladies that were just all there having fun, and they thought that me and this other guy were the greatest people ever. And every time there would be a pitch called, or he would make a strike, these old ladies and I, we'd be like, no, come on, please, screaming and yelling. So by the end of the bottom of the third inning, this guy just couldn't handle it. Threw us out. The manager of the Vero Beach team comes flying out of the dugout. Literally screaming, we paid these guys $750. They're going to make us pay. He goes, I don't care how much they pay. Get out of here. You're out of here, too. I mean, screaming and yelling the whole, you know, Dusty Baker, you know, grabbing a base and throwing a base, you know, that whole thing. So then we get down into the dugout, and we're like, oh, my God, we're going to get in so much trouble. We just got kicked out of a game. What the heck? Are you kidding me? How is this going to go? So the manager comes down and he's kicking stuff. And I mean, this guy's like old school, like 65.
Sure.
Been in baseball since he was five. Right out of a movie. Comes down and he goes, that son of a bitch. We got to deal with that guy in the next three games on a road trip. Rah, rah, rah. And I'm like, coach, you know, hey, man. And I'm going, coach, right? Hey, you know, sorry, we didn't mean to do that. He goes, that's the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life. Are you kidding me? That's great. Let's go have a beer. We get into his office, and he's like, we're drinking beer. By the time the game's over, we're all half in the bag, laughing at the old ladies up there. It was the craziest thing ever. I was like, I can't believe we're not going to get in trouble for this. And we were like, and all I could think of was like, oh, they're not going to pay us. They're not going to give us the money. They gave us the money. Coach thought it was the greatest thing ever.
There it is. And the rest is history. Yeah. And you wound up at the NHRA. And right, when you think something is going badly, it could be going great. You just don't know. You don't know what's good or bad. It just doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter. And it, but like going back to the whole thing, this whole entertainment thing just evolves. And I mean, there were people when I first came back out here, like in 2008, they were like, who the hell is this guy? Get him out of here. Like, from what I understand, Wally Parks' wife hated our guts when we used to be out there. She's like, I don't understand what the hell these people are doing out there. What is this? What are they doing to my beloved drag racing? When I heard that, I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I've ever seen Wally Parks' wife. But if I do, I'm going to stay away from her as much as possible. But, you know, I used to get – our boss would get hate mail. Like, that guy, get him out of here, blah, blah. He used to share all that with me. Until I responded back to one of the people, and I was like, hey, man, I'm just out here doing my job. I don't know why you're yelling at me.
Well, that's it. I ran into a guy in the elevator the other day, and that's the thing, is people just need a place for their negative energy. Everybody has a negative energy. They've got it in them, and it's sad, but you do. Even me, we all do. You just need a place for it, right? And so a lot of people put it on other people. So you guys coming out, I remember not liking it either early on, and then I realized, well, wait a second. These guys are actually killing a little of the downtime between those three-hour oil downs that used to happen back in the day in the very beginning, right, when the trucks would roll. Those oil downs were long, man. It was a different era. And having something, like if a shirt came near you, all of a sudden it became real, like, oh, maybe I'll get a shirt. And then all of a sudden you start to like it. But I ran into a guy the other day in the elevator, and he told me, he's like, hey, man, I gotta be honest with you. I was like, okay, what? He goes, I emailed Reinhardt about you the other day. I was like, oh, my gosh, what'd you say? And he's like, well, I told him I didn't really like you, and I didn't like what you had to say. I didn't like you at all. And it's like, well, thank you for that. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, since then, though, I've listened a little better, and I got to acknowledge that I was wrong. You do a good job. I go, well, have you emailed him back? And he's like, no. I was like, well, when I get fired, it's going to be your fault. You need to email him back an update. And he swore that he would. I don't know if he did or not. But yeah.
That didn't happen. Oh, yeah. Reinhardt's email is the best because he'll get on the radio and say, hey, what are you doing right now? And I'm like, I'm doing everything. He goes, oh, you need to get up here. You need to see this. And I'm like, okay, what is it? And I know it's a bad email. And it's just like, I don't know if people realize that they're just responding to Alan and Alan's the only one who sees it. But he tells me all the bad things that you guys say about me. I go, just know that I know it. I mean, there was one guy in the pits that was like, tell Jason to shut his big fat mouth. Alan's like, he goes, I guess the guys, this was like in Seattle. He goes, I guess the guy's in the pits right over there, and I think the speaker's right by his trailer. There was a sportsman guy, so he was working on his car while I'm yelling and screaming about Top Fuel coming back up or whatever. And he's like, tell him to shut his big fat mouth. And I go, just tell him to come up here and tell me. I'll be good.
Right.
I'll shut it down.
Tell me to my face. Well, my dad even says that, you know, he's got to go diving for the remote. He knows the cadence now. He knows the whip around, right? Like when you're about to get loud, he's got to lower the remote because it just it'll wake the neighbors.
Yeah, no, especially on these computers. Because I get on it, man.
You're loud. No, you got the pipes. You got
a little excitement.
All right, so this is Friday cocktails with Jason Logan, WFO, myself, and we're just trying to lighten it up for everybody a little bit. And you know, the bargaining stage of grief, where I reach out to others for meaning. And I feel like you've given some meaning, Jason. I think this was good. This was a good conversation. Hopefully the first of more, because I don't know about you guys, because you got your own podcast. When was the last time you did one of those?
We just did one on Monday. And we have been out of order since like November. We haven't done anything. So it took like a four-month hiatus. We just did one on Monday, and
terrible.
It was like 2 hours long.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So people will listen. I will listen. I enjoy listening to you guys, you and Ali, and getting together. I know Ali has had a bunch of interesting things. And because you have been so kind coming on and having some fun interaction, which I plan to ramp up I do a lot of podcasting already because it's how I make a living. I don't know if I'm going to continue to make a living in any way, but that's a different story for a different day. I still plan to do some podcasting, but tell them where they can find yours.
Well, you can find us on iTunes. It's called Two Fat Dads, and it's two, spelled T-O-O, Fat Dads. And it's just a podcast about anything and everything. And, again, if you're drag racing fans, we kind of get into some drag racing. We'll talk about it just a little bit, but you'll get the true perspective of how we really feel about fans. I'm not going to lie. when people yell at us, I mean, we talk about it. So, you know, it's all good, though. We have a good time. But we talk about anything and everything, you name it. It's all up for discussion. So we actually had Scotty Polachek on one time last February, a year ago. And he was asking us about what he should get his wife for Valentine's Day. And we were basically like, well, you know, do you want to have sex or do you not want to have sex?
we get a little risque
on there.
A little raunchy. I like
it's got an R rating, so just if you don't listen to it with your kids, but you can find that on iTunes, Podbean, wherever you find podcasts, and then you can always follow me on Twitter at Logan Mania, Facebook at Logan Mania, I think Instagram is at Jason Logan. But I mean, that now we're getting crazy.
Well, listen, it's all social media, and we can expect your, you know, like all your deep views on Corona, COVID-19, et cetera. Well, Jason, thank you very much. This has been a fun happy hour show. I appreciate it. I feel so much better. I feel like something has been accomplished. I hope we get go back racing as soon as is possible. All the best, you know, you and your family and all of that. And
you too. Listen, Joe.
Yeah.
I want to come back on next Friday and do it again.
Well, maybe this will be a thing. Who knows? Friday cocktails, where we discuss the issues of the day.
Dude, I'm in. Listen, I got nothing going on. Again. I got nothing happening,
again.
Joe.
Again. No, this is a tough deal, man. How about one more thing? I'm trying to wrap it up, but one more thing. Like, when they're talking about, like, the loans, and they're going to send money, and every employee, and it's like, man, I'm not an employee, man. That's not my gig. No one knows my life, man. It's very different than the average citizen who has an employer, and they send him a check, and they get, they get direct deposit and all that stuff. Like, you live this gig life, which you've lived. You created a business around it. I'm doing it, too, for a long time successfully, right, as a radio guy. Like, they are never talking about us.
No, and that's what you listen. I've seen a million petitions popping up, you know. Okay, that's great, but like, you had the great point, Joe. We talked earlier in the week, you got to call your congressperson to help you. You know, you got to pick up the phone and talk to the people that can help you. And you know, luckily I have a business, and I get paid through it. I don't know if I can actually, I got to figure that out. I don't know if I can collect unemployment, but the people that work for me, I'm going to fire them and collect unemployment so they can collect unemployment, you know? But that's the whole thing. There's bridge loans. There's all kinds of stuff, but, you got to have more than two employees. You're all by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm wiped off on the bridge loan. First of all, the bridge loan, like, you can get, like let's assume I took a loan for $50,000, right? Well, you got to pay it back in a year. And, I don't know if that's the smartest thing, to go in debt. And also, I can't get it because you have to have two employees. I'm me. I'm Costello Media. I hire contractors, et cetera.
It's a 12% interest rate, too. Now, here's what I started figuring.
I know. That's not an easy interest rate, by the way. That's 12%. No. Hey.
Yeah, that's a big number. So, $50,000, what is that? Now you owe $62,000? You know, you're going to pay $12,000 of it back? I don't know how the math works. Again, I told you I'm not a good math person.
Right.
But when they declare the state of Florida and our zones and our counties a disaster area, which they've already done across the nation and other places. I can't believe they have not said that Orange County, Dade County, Broward County, places like that are not a disaster area. Once they do that, then you can get the SBA loans, which I think are a totally different thing, and FEMA, and those are like 3.5% loans. So, you know, that's a much easier way to go into debt.
Yeah, well, that's what it should be. And also, like, you know, you can't tell everybody to stay home for the good of the nation and the world and then also expect them to make every payment that they have. Mortgage payments. Like, I think New York State is talking about suspending mortgage payments. Like, everybody, time out. I think it's the way to do it is just like credit card payments, credit card interest. Like, the credit card companies should accept the minimum payment and not accrue interest. And this month or 2 months or 3 months, we should just like wipe it off the map once we get back to business. But you can't allow people to be driven into bankruptcy because they couldn't pay when they were told to stay home, because then they'll just go to work and make the money and not be driven to bankruptcy. It's like one or the other. Which do you want them to do? Same with the testing, right? Like, you can't charge for the test because people without money are not going to get the test, but we need people to get the test. But if they're going to get a bill for like $600 for the test, they're not going to go get the test, and then you don't get to know who has it. So you've got to make the test free, otherwise it's not going to work. And I think they're sort of like, I love the idea of, you know, I actually like the mechanisms of government to see how they work. Like, is it going to work? I don't know. We're going to see. We're going to find out soon enough. And I just hope everybody can pull together and survive as best as they can. Jason, thank you very much.
Joe, thank you for, letting me hang out and talk to you. Again, I'm available whenever, Joe.
Got it. We got
it. If you started cooking one, I'm in on that one, too.
Got it. All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Jason, thank you.
Joe, thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
And there he goes, Jason Logan. How about Jason? Logan Mania. We heard from Giovanni, the Ignition Show co-host, and Jason out there from NHRA World. And I feel great. It's Friday Cocktails. We genuinely discussed the issues of the day. And that is what Friday Happy Hour is all about on WFO. Now we got a full archive. We got Caps. We got Reinhardt. We got more stuff to come next week. I hear Sean Langdon is going to be on the show, is what I'm hearing. It's as if I'm not even in control of this thing anymore. And what we're probably going to do with this slot is just every once in a while whip around people I know and see how they're holding up. And, you know, I thought about doing this on the social media. And no, man, I want to keep it on the WFO podcast. This is what it's about. And it's going to evolve and it's going to adapt. And maybe you only want to hear about drag racing. Well, then what can I tell you? No drag racing going on. I am going to try to work on my own car, though. That is a project I am planning on doing. I've got time. I'm going to use the time wisely. Like, as soon as I click save on this one and post it, then I am going to go and organize my office. Because I got time. We all got time. All right, everybody, seriously, though, stay safe. Help your neighbors, help your friends, help your parents, help your family. And don't get crazy. If it's just a roll of toilet paper, we'll find another way, right? And we'll all get through this. And send me the 8th picture. Just WFO, everyone.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
WFO!
I love WFO radio.